93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
So it's that time of the week again where we're joined by another man in blue. Although in this case, it's either green or yellow. Delighted to say that the Pompey shot stopper Craig McGilvery is alongside me, ready and waiting to take on your questions. If you want to do so, you can get into us via all the normal ways. A very good evening wherever you're listening to us. And welcome to the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Yes, a very good evening wherever you're listening to us, and welcome to another edition of the Thursday Football Hour with me, James Robbins, 93.7 Express FM, the place to be between 6 and 7 every Monday, Thursday and Friday evening as you get your 1 hour Pompey fix. As ever on a Thursday evening, we're delighted to be joined by another Pompey player. If you want to get involved, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400, email studio@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us at expressfm is all the mediums for you to get in touch this evening. Of course, we can't go any further without telling you this show, as ever, is being brought to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to get in and around the city of Portsmouth and you don't fancy finding a place to park, download the Stagecoach Buses app from the Google Play Store, the Android Store, or the App Store, wherever you download your apps from, and find the Stagecoach Buses app with all the timetables, prices you need to get around. As I said, if you do want to get involved, start your text message with the word Express, send it to 81400. You can email studio@expressfm.com, or you can tweet us by using @expressfm. So without any further ado then, welcome our live studio guest this evening. It's a very good evening. The first goalkeeper we've had on the Thursday Football Hour so far this evening. A very good evening to Craig McGilvery. Good evening.
Thank you.
Have I said your second name? What is the correct way of saying it?
It's McGilvery.
McGilvery. Oh, get in there.
It's just a roll off the tongue, really.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've had long enough to prepare for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, how are you enjoying life down here on the South Coast? I mean, what, 10 months into it so far? No, a bit less, 9 months into it.
Oh, I'm loving every minute of it. There's that old catchphrase of Northerners don't like moving to the South. And I said it a few weeks ago in an interview that... That's not me. I absolutely love it down here. Well, the one thing for starters is the weather's a lot warmer. And I'm enjoying my football, and the football club is phenomenal. The fan base, wow.
Tell what, Northerners love that. Anytime I speak to them, I go, oh, you Southern softies, you Southern softies. It's a badge of honour, almost.
I don't know where that old cliche comes from, you know, the whole Southern softies and Northerners are toughies. I think it's a bit of a wrong term. I think a lot of Southerners are quite tough, to be honest.
Yeah, they should try dealing with this wind down here when
it picks up. Yeah.
A goalkeeper's nightmare. Has there been some games where it's really been howling and you just go, this could, especially the balls, the way they're made at the minute, it comes off the laces and Lord knows where it could end up.
I think I speak on behalf of most footballers in terms of weather conditions. The wind's the hardest one because it can change a game. It can make a game quite scrappy just because the wind catches hold of it. It just makes it hard to play.
Especially for your job.
Yeah, well, there's that, and you said about the balls. They seem to make them more and more lighter every year, more and more slippery. So yeah, you just got to adapt every time it changes and adapt to conditions during each game.
Let's just, before we properly get going, let's touch a bit on Tuesday night. It was, the challenge was laid down following the game on Saturday against Charlton, that Blues really need 9 wins to get yourselves into that automatic promotion places. 100% so far following that challenge. Is that it now? There's no ifs, no buts. It's win or bust.
Yeah, quite possibly. That is the way you've got to look at it. I think we just got to look at it as take it each game and go out there and try and get 3 points. I think that's what we've tried to do all season. We've not gone out there at any stage and gone, oh, we're not going to win this game, we're not going to win that game, or we'll draw that one. You go out there every time you step on that pitch to get 3 points. And the fact that now we're in a position where you're in 9 games to go, I think we've got to go into it not thinking, oh, one game we can afford here and there. We've got to go in there and win all 9 games.
I mean, for yourself, I mean, we'll just go back to that game on Tuesday night, following the game. When it got back to 3-2, was there a bit of you that thought, not again? This can't happen again?
Honestly, no. Part of the reason was because it was so late. It is very frustrating when we were in such a commanding position, being 3-0 up, and we've gone very quickly in quick succession and conceded 2 goals. That obviously takes the gloss off it, but you're in territory now where the game's done. We've got 3 points and we now move on to Scunthorpe. It's at that point now where you get to the end of the season, you're not going to look back and go, oh, we've conceded 2 goals there. At the time, yes, you can be annoyed and frustrated and stuff like that, and you want to minimise the goals that go in, but it is ultimately, you look back at the end of the season and go, look, we've won that game. So,
how would you assess the Pompey defensive unit as a unit this season?
I think it's been very, very good. I think at the start of the season, we were, like, exceptional. There's no denying that. I think someone told me we were 8 clean sheets in 20 games. I can't remember how many goals it was. It wasn't many, though. And then we went on that really obscure run of, was it 13 games without a clean sheet? Mm. And, like, I don't think it was quite double, but it was a lot more than we had done in the first half of the season. And football is one of them. It does throw up things like that, scenarios like that, and things even themselves out over a season. They do. We're obviously frustrated that we haven't kept as many clean sheets as we did in the first half of the season, but there's one thing for certain, no one's trying any less and the team's still working as hard as it was. It's just unfortunate that it has happened how it has.
Just from, I guess, speaking to you briefly for the past 10 minutes or so, you are, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe your own worst critic, where unless you sort of come off with a clean sheet, I mean, even there, when you're just talking about the 3-2, it takes the gloss off of it for you. Yes, it's a win, and that's the important thing, but you're disappointed that 2 goals, you've been picked out the back of your net.
Yeah, that's ultimately what a goalkeeper... No goalkeeper that I know, and me, I'm speaking on behalf of myself as well, wants to concede goals. No one wants to concede goals. It doesn't even matter if the ball is put in the top corner like it was against Plymouth. You just don't like conceding goals. And although as a clean sheet it has to come from the whole team, it's what a goalkeeper likes to pride themselves on. They do like to pride themselves, and I like to pride myself on clean sheets. So, like you said, if a goal goes in but you still win, yes, you're ecstatic that you've won 3 points, but there is that added gloss that's taken off it when a goal does go in the net, yeah.
Mm. And with the challenge that's been laid down by Kenny Jackett, saying that this is it, 9 wins are needed to get itself into the automatic promotion races, does that almost make it better for the squad? As there is a lot of... The motivation is there. It's not like you're, say, a Luton or a Sunderland or a Barnsley going into it going, oh, we can drop a few points here and drop a few points here. There is none of that. You're in one mindset together.
That's a good way of looking at it. I have to say, I just thought about just making sure we go into the next game and we have to pick up the results. But if you think about that, there's no other way around it. We've got to win 9 games. Then that's motivation enough for anybody. You've got to go into these 9 games. You've got to win these 9 games. You don't have to put pressure on ourselves. It's just another game you go into, but there's no other outcome bar getting a win, which is what I think we've started off. Well, start the season, that's what we wanted to do. If we could have done, we'd have gone 46. We wanted to go 46 unbeaten and win every game, but it's got to be realistic at the same time. You're never going to go 46 games with
especially this points. Club's history during the winter. It just I don't know what it is. For whatever reason, we just don't seem to pick up points in the winter. It's been must be 50-60 years. It's some record that that's gone on. How would you assess your overall performance then, since coming in, making the move down in the summer? Have you been pleased with it? Is there things you can work on? Is there still steps up for yourself?
I've been happy overall with my performances. I say it every time I come in after a game or after a training session. I always like to go away, reflect, not beat yourself up. I've got to the point now where I've learned the best way to take it is to take the positives from every game. Yes, you have to see what you can work on and things like that, because you need to make sure you improve. But my overall season so far, I've been relatively pleased. Yeah, there's obviously things I know I can work on and things I want to improve on in order to take the next step in my progression and get even better.
How hard was it then coming into when being brought in? And I mean, it's keeper must be, I think it's the toughest position on a football pitch. You come in, Luke McGee was there, he was the number one last season. You come in and then you're installed as the number one. How good is that competition to keep you at the top of your game?
I think, in terms of goalkeepers, it is very important. You've got to make sure that all keepers, it doesn't matter if it's the one, two, three, it could be the ones further down as well. You look at the two young lads we've got, they're still pushing the first team lads, and you need that throughout the team. You need lads that are willing to push each other in order to get the best from each other. Otherwise, as a collective, you're not going to get your maximum performance levels out of each player.
And do you and Luke get on as well, on and off the pitch?
Yeah, we do, yeah. As soon as I came through the door, we both said hello, as you do. It's obviously awkward when you first come through because you're both fighting for the same spot. You are. And it's the same. All the new lads are in the same boat because you see each other as rivals. But I think we've seen past that now. We get on. We both push each other. If we both feel we can help each other in our games, then we do that.
Definitely. And it is because there is only one spot and you both look working towards the same goal. It must be one of the toughest places, the toughest positions in football. Also, throughout the season, you've had a change of, I guess, some people say some of the most vital lines of communication is with a goalkeeper and their centre-half. So obviously you've had a change of centre-halves with the nasty injury that Jack Watmore picked up. So then Christian Burgess fills in at centre-half. Did that take a bit of adjusting to get used to? Maybe some things Christian Burgess, the decisions Christian Burgess makes sometimes are different to the ones Jack Watmore makes, and you just got to get time to adjust.
Every player has their own different ways of working, have the different styles of how they play, but you train with them every day, so you do know what each player brings to the table, what their main attributes are and stuff like that. So I didn't feel, as soon as Burgey came on the pitch against Donny, I didn't feel any different. I don't think the rest of the team did. And even now, I think we have a good relationship, as well as me and Matt Clark, and across the whole back four, I do think we have a good relationship, yeah.
Mm. And what's it like to play in, I guess, in front of Matt Clark? Is it something where there is, because I think his ability is there, as is all the young players, for all to see, that the confidence and composure he certainly exudes from the stands as well. Does that give you almost a bit of a sigh of relief at times?
He is. I think he seems to get the main accolades, definitely. I think all the back four, I think the whole team is a very strong team, and each player's got their added qualities to bring to the team. But like in terms of Matt Clark, you've got to look at his age and how confident he is on that ball, how well he adapts with pressure, how well he deals with the physicality of the game for someone who's so young, reads it so well. And then he's just got that added little bit to him where he can just go on that ridiculous run down the whole length of the pitch and just take on all the opposition players.
Is there a bit of you that's like, no, pass the ball, get back? What are you doing?
I'm not going to... The first couple of times he did it, I thought, where's he going here? Where is he going? I swear he might be a defender. And then he'd go on this run and you kind of just think, wow. Because he did it against... the Rochdale game sticks out like a sore thumb. And it's just not normal for a centre-half to be able to do that. Well, my opinion of what you expect from a centre-half is ultimately to defend. head it, kick it, however it means necessary. But then he goes and just step overs and drops a shoulder and seems to go past all the opposition players. So I think he's a rare player.
And speaking of running up the pitch, I think it's fair to say your celebrations have not gone unnoticed as well. I think they're brilliant, Gita. Is it just you're just like a fan, really, at the other end of the
Yeah, of the pitch? I think if I'm honest, I think I sort of noticed it last year because Dean Henderson did it a lot at Shrewsbury. And it kind of made me think a little bit when I was watching it. At the time, I thought, "What is he doing? You look daft." I'll be honest. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, "Well, why shouldn't a goalkeeper celebrate? Ultimately, you're in the same team that's just scored. Yes, okay, you can't go over the halfway line because there's a rule, something like if all your players are in the other half,
they can kick off.
Yeah. So you have to stay on your own. So you just kind of, I just kind of thought, well, why should I not celebrate? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a enjoyable feeling when your team scores a goal, so that's really where it comes from.
Yeah, I don't blame you in the slightest. It's always good on the Monday morning where you get the McGilvery cam that comes on the Portsmouth Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, if you want to get involved with Craig McGilvery, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400. You can email studio@expressfm.com or you can tweet us at ExpressFM. Plenty of those coming through this evening. We'll get to those next on the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the second part of your Thursday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM, the only station on the islands and the only station in a couple of months that will have a dedicated Portsmouth breakfast show. As ever, the show is being brought to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to get in and around the city of Portsmouth, or indeed you want to see some of the other counties, download the Stagecoach Buses app where all the timetables and fares can show you how to do that. As I said, delighted to say Craig McGilvery is alongside me in the studio for the next 35 minutes or so. So if you have a text, tweet or email or a viewer or question you want to get in to the Pompey goalkeeper, you can do so. Start your text message with the word Express, send that to 81400. You can email studio@expressfm.com or you can tweet us by using @expressfm. Craig, when you arrived and we're talking, and the natural question to ask you is, you know, are you looking forward to Wembley? For you, that will all be dependent, really, on just getting a win.
Yeah, well, it's been a frustrating old place, Wembley, because I've been there 3 times previous in multiple competitions. Unfortunately, I've been on the losing side every single time. So in that side of it, in particular, I'd love to go there and win, definitely. But there's no getting away from the fact, even though it is going to be the fourth time, whether it's your first or your fourth or your eighth or whatever, it's still an unbelievable occasion. You don't think of that at the time when you're on the losing side, but when the dust settles, so to speak, you do take it all in, and it is a phenomenal stadium. It's a phenomenal experience, and it does stick with you for the rest of your life because a lot of players never get the opportunity to do it.
I mean, there's some England internationals that never played there 4 times.
Yeah, exactly.
That, fingers crossed, all things being well, it could be you. I mean, have you made the dreaded walk then up the stairs?
I have done that.
Is there a part of you and you're just like, almost, I guess, as part of, I'm not sure how you are, sort of team talks before the game or team talks in the dressing room, and sort of explain that and go, I don't want to experience that ever again?
No, you don't. And it as a sportsman, there's nothing worse than losing. It is an awful feeling. No one enjoys losing, and to do it at the National Stadium, it just makes it a little bit more painful, really, because it's such like an honour, really, to play there, and you don't get to play there very often in your career, so you'd love to go there and win and suck up all that feeling from winning.
How hard is it to not get sucked up in the moment and go, you've got a game of football to play, but you're focusing on everything around you, you're in the National Stadium, you're 90,000 seats. How hard is that?
That's a good question, because I haven't actually, I've not physically played on that pitch. I've been on the bench three times. But in terms of just in general and not getting caught up in the moment, you're ultimately, your job is to play football. So you are ultimately out there to do a job, and that job is to win a game of football. So that is, once some, well, I've had many different ways of which you do Wembley. I've been there a couple of days before just to let people who've never been there before sort of get a feel for everything, take it all in when they're not having to do it on the actual big occasion. That generally works. Because when it does come to the day and it's time to go out and warm up, you can't think about what's going on around. You can't think, oh, this is lovely, this is a beautiful stadium. Oh, look at all these fans, it's brilliant. Because ultimately, it's 90 minutes, potentially, extra time and penalties if it came to it, but ultimately, whoever wins at the end of that game wins, and there's always a winner and a loser, so you've got to make sure that you're bang at it as soon as that whistle goes.
That's a very, very good point. Very good evening. Let's get to the text tweets and emails. Good evening to Pompey Hev, who says, firstly, thank you for interacting with fans on Twitter, Craig. First question is, though, do you get annoyed of being tagged in everything?
No. I'm I've had a few of my teammates call me a busy social mediaist. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I'm more than happy to interact with fans and stuff like that. And sometimes I get tagged in tweets occasionally, and I do have a good old chuckle off them, I have to say. After games when we win sometimes, some of the stuff I get sent, I do laugh.
I probably won't be able to say it on air, but there was an exchange at the beginning of the season with... do you know what, I'm going to have to tell you off air. Because you replied to it. I think you might know the one I mean. But I mean... I've never understood, I say this to most players, who, as a footballer on Twitter, I've never understood it, because if I was ever to be one, the first thing I would do is deactivate the account. Because really? it just seems to me that you come in for loads and loads of absolutely needless abuse from idiots.
You do, and when I was younger, you do obviously see those, think about them and stuff like that, but I'm now at the point now where I'm 26. Like, if people get enjoyment out of putting abuse on social media and stuff like that, then that's their enjoyment, I guess. But it's not something that I take particular notice in now. Going back to like the ones that make me laugh, they're enjoyable. They are quite funny. Some things I get sent or get tagged in. So why would you not show that you're actually enjoying what's being sent to you?
Some of the ones in a taxi from earlier on in the season.
I have to say, I'm not gonna lie, I was looking at it, I thought, that is a bit strange, I'm not gonna lie. I had a chuckle, but I thought, I've never been ever tagged in stuff like this before in my life. But I find it quite funny, so I'll reply.
Good evening to Sarah Bowers, who says, Craig, good evening. Why did you wear your FA Cup kit for a league match? Did Kitman Kev pack the wrong gear?
I didn't even notice this. And then halfway through the first half, I looked at my arm and realised I've got the FA Cup badge on. Then I thought, oh no, we're on TV here, so now everyone's actually going to see this. So I came in at half time, I couldn't even sit down, and Kev had grabbed hold of my arm and pulled the sticker off and went, I've packed the wrong one by mistake. So I think I don't know if Kev had a spare one, so I assume that's why he just ripped off the FA Cup badge.
Be a brave man to take on Kitman.
I know.
Good evening to Sarah, who says, do all goalkeepers like chocolate biscuits, or is it just the legend Alan Knight, who's part of our commentary team, who get involved for the sweet treats? And are you excited for Wembley?
I do love a chocolate. I love a biscuit. You cannot beat a nice warm coffee or a tea and a biscuit. It's like having bread and butter. It's like that sort of combination. So yeah, I do love chocolate biscuits. I'm quite good with my chocolate biscuits, to be honest. I don't really eat them that much, but they're a nice treat when I do.
Yeah, so don't admit it on air, whatever you say.
To be fair, my diet is very, very good, I have to say. And in terms of Wembley, yes, I am looking forward to it again. There's no place like it.
A very good evening to Graham Wilkins listening in, who says, hi Craig, firstly I personally think you're the best keeper Pompey's had since we were in the Premier League. Who was your favourite goalkeeper growing up?
funny old question, that, because I never actually used to focus on goalkeepers when I was a kid, because I never played in net until I was 16. So my player when I was growing up was Beckham, because I was a winger at the time. And then in terms of goalkeeping, when I went in net, you had Joe Hart. He was only sort of just coming really into his prime at the time.
Funny enough, at Shrewsbury.
Yeah. I didn't even know that until I actually went to Shrewsbury either. Him or Butland at the time, because he's a similar age to me, and he was sort of on the scene doing very well. So they were the main two, Joe Hart and Jack Butland, yeah.
And good evening to Carol and Hayden, who on a similar question said, Craig, who was your footballing hero growing up? So how on earth did you make the move from, what, a winger?
Yeah, winger / striker.
To a goalkeeper?
Just when I was younger, I was nippy. I was pretty quick, yeah. So I just kind of used that when I played. I never even knew what football was when I grew up, because I grew up in Scotland, so I was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And then when we moved to England, I just went down to a local team's training session, didn't have a clue what was going on, didn't understand the whole two goals, two teams, the fact you've got to keep this ball in. I literally was oblivious to it all. And then, like I said, I just kind of used the fact that I was quite quick in comparison to a lot of people, so I kind of used that side of it. And then one day when I was 16, I remember going in on Saturday morning for training and just asking the coach if I can have a go in net for a shooting drill. And much to the other goalkeepers' disgust, I went in for the shooting session, and I, hand on heart, loved every single minute of it and enjoyed diving around in that mud. That was one of the main reasons I enjoyed it. And then I left that local team to go and play for another local team who would let me play in net, because they wouldn't let me play in net. And then I stayed in net ever since.
That is a good. And then who did you get picked up by them? Was it just you were playing on a local sort of Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and somebody just picked you up?
Yeah, so I had a few trials here and there as a goalkeeper, and then I went to a team called Stalybridge in Manchester, yeah, in non-league. They were full-time in non-league at the time, so I kind of did that. I left university after 3 months to go and do that, deferred it a year, and then left there because the travelling was too much. I didn't drive, although I had a nice licence, I didn't drive. Went to Harrogate Town, sat on the bench for a couple of games, keeper got injured, and then I played for the remaining 2 years I was there, and then got picked up by Walsall.
Incredible. How people get into football is absolutely brilliant. Thank you to everyone who's got involved. I will promise to get back to the next your texts, tweets and emails, which are flooding into us here on 93.7 Express FM. Now's the time of the show. A couple of minutes, grab your phone, as we're going to see how many kick-ups Craig McGilvery can do inside of a minute here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome to the third part of your Thursday Night Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you want to get in and around the city of Portsmouth and your parallel parking is of a similar standard to mine, download the Stagecoach Buses app, where you can find out all the bus routes, all the prices, all the timetables. Go to the App Store, the Google Play Store. That is where you find all of that. As everybody knows, Facebook Live today. If you are a regular listener, you will know this is the part of the show. It's the Pompey Kick Me Up Challenge, where our studio guest has 1 minute to do as many kick-ups as possible. If you've got your phone ready, head over to Facebook Live, Pompey 93.7 Express FM. That's where you can find us and watch the Facebook Live video of Craig McGilvery, seeing how many kick-ups he can do inside of a minute. Craig, see, not one of the outfield players here, but seeing you on the practice drill, got decent set of feet. Are you looking towards the 50 mark, 65?
I'd like the main thing I want to make sure I beat is the bottom five, six people, definitely, because I don't want to be bottom. That's one thing. But then again, you might as well aim high and try and get near Matt Clark and try and get 179. But we'll have to see. The first attempt will sort of sum that up as to how my feet are working. They were working fine earlier off air, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they were working really well. I mean, so the bottom five there, Nathan Thompson 27, Naylor 29, Hawkins 32, Joe Mason and Joe Gallen 33. Agar actually has a challenge. Christian Burgess 36.
That's my target.
So that's your target. Beats your defensive partner there. Right, so when I press the button, you've got a minute to do the kick-ups. We'll take your highest score after the minute. So, Mason, if you're ready, in 3, 2, 1, go. Good evening. Not done this for a while. Get to talk you through it. As seems to be the case, I dropped one, 50 seconds. 50 seconds to go to beat Christian Burgess. Oh, he's negotiating it around the door.
Wall.
Oh, no. That was dangerously close to the wall. Again, Kenny Jacket, if you're listening, I hope you're not on Facebook and you're not watching this.
I wouldn't watch it if I were you.
Oh, no.
I'm on the beast.
You've got 20 seconds left. Keep going. There we go, look at that. When the pressure's off.
The room, the pressure, I'll tell you what. When the pressure's on here, I'm having one. Oh. Standing.
Oh, Craig. There you go, look. There's the magic.
Yeah, with a lot on the camera, we're fine. I don't know what that was. It was definitely more than 27.
More than 27.
Right. Here's the dilemma. That was past the minute. And past the three attempts.
Nah, put it up. What was Craig's high score?
That'll do.
That'll do. Craig McGilvery.
That'll do.
31.
That'll do.
That's been one of the questions, actually, from people. So when's the goalkeepers coming on? So we got 31. There you go. At least you're not bottom. You can go back to Nathan Thompson. But yeah,
I would like to have thought I'd get. I'd like to have thought I'd get to 50 after what I did earlier, but
not
to use my hands.
That is a very good point, actually. And funny enough, I was listening in on the way in, and there was a debate about what is it now with this obsession that actually a goalkeeper's feet is more important than a goalkeeper's hands?
I wouldn't say a goalkeeper's feet is more important than his hands, but
I mean, if you look back to, I mean, this is, I guess, looking to the top level, but you know, Joe Hart let go from Manchester City because his feet weren't good enough. Again, goalkeeper, you see it in the lower leagues where, you know, the goalkeepers are getting their defenders to split and pass the ball out. It's ever increasingly seeming that the feet are becoming more important than the hands.
It is, well, at the top level, a lot of, well, you look at Pep, he's very much, always has been, someone that wants to play total football. So, that situation with Joe Hart's a funny one, because I never really thought it would make that much of a difference bringing someone else in. He's not awful with his feet, is he? Let's be honest. No. He's a very good goalkeeper. But sometimes managers have their own way of how they want to work it, and the day and age now of playing out from the back, it is more common, and you have, as a goalkeeper, you do have to be able to use your feet, definitely. It's not a case of using your hands and booming it every 2 seconds. That obviously has a part to play, but it's not.
It does, and got you a few assists this season as well.
Although a lot of them seem to have gone down as Ollie Hawkins assists, haven't they? That's the thing. At the start of the season, we had
I think we had
4 or 5 in because near enough consecutive games, literally off a kick, off a flick, and then we're in.
You've been robbed of assists.
I've still claimed them as assists personally, but I got an actual official one on Tuesday, because absolutely no one else touched that ball bar Omar. So
about time. A very good evening to Jack listening in. Says, hi Craig, I asked Curtis this, but I want to know your opinion. Who's got the best banter in the Pompey squad?
Who's got the best banter? Jack Watmore. Jack Watmore. I find him very, very funny. Very, very funny.
And the worst?
Worst banter? Well, whoever says I've got the worst banter, because I've heard that a few times, I don't really give it out, so I don't know how I can have worst banter. I think I'll have to go to Pitts, because he just tries to get a nibble out of me all the time and doesn't ever succeed.
I've got to say, some of his stuff on Instagram is brilliant.
every time I put this is what I'm going to say him, purely because every time I put anything on social media, he's one of the first to try and put anything, whether it's a bumblebee to say I'm busy or anything like that. So, yeah, I'll go Pitts.
A very good evening, Sarah Powers, who says, is it difficult to communicate with your teammates when the crowd are so loud?
I got asked that a few weeks ago, actually, after a game, and it's a weird old one, because when you're on the pitch, it doesn't sound as loud as when you're off the pitch. Because when I've gone to games and I've sat in the stands watching games at Fratton Park, whether it be cup games and stuff, it's a lot louder when you're sat in the stands than it is when you're actually on the pitch. And you do have to shout, and you do have to sort of be very, very clear. You can't waffle and say loads of stuff, because it just gets lost. You have to be precise in what you say, and then everyone can hear you.
Good evening to Kyle Bambury, who says, good evening. Can you ask him what Kev said about his shirt? He'll know. He got asked it on his birthday.
What he said to me?
Yeah.
Oof. After he took the badge off the...
Can you ask him what Kev said about his shirt? He'll know. He got asked it on his birthday. I'll take that as a no. Good evening to Stephen Ferrer. He says, hi, Craig. I just heard you say earlier that in the show you played at Wembley 3 times, but not once. So good luck for the Chequered Trade final, and let's hope it's 4th time lucky for you.
Thank you.
Playing at the home of football would be a big occasion for any player, whatever the competition is. But when the day finally does arrive, what do you do to prepare yourself for the game? As I can imagine, quite a few nerves kick in. How do you deal with the nerves?
Everyone deals with them differently. You just kind of just got to not... It's a lot easier I'm making it sound, but you've got to try not to think about it. You just got to see it as another game. However, each player's their own way of preparing. As soon as you wake up, some people like to have breakfast, some don't. Some like to wait to pre-match. And you just got to just keep it as normal as you can and just try not to think of it as what it is, a cup final in front of 90,000 people. Because ultimately, it's 2 teams on a piece of grass with 2 goals.
It's simple when you strip it back
that's
like
what
that.
I mean.
Good evening as well to Graham, who says, Craig, how do you relax after a game?
How do I relax after a game?
Or even train?
After training, sometimes I go in the Roco jacuzzi. I do like going in there, all the steam room. I do like going in there. But after games, I don't tend to do an awful lot, to be honest. Majority of the time, it's just sort of feet up, have some food. I don't really, I like, some footballers love to eat like a takeaway or whatever, just because it's straight after a game. It's the ideal opportunity if you want to eat some bad food to do it, because a lot of the lads will have run a lot of kilometres distance, so you can afford to do it. But Sunday, I do love a film in the afternoon with a bit of popcorn. I do love a Sunday in front of a TV with a film.
Craig McGilvery's Sunday Cinema Club. What's your favourite place to go on holiday?
My favourite place to go on holiday? I've only ever actually been to 3 places in my sort of life.
No.
4 of the times in a row I went to Ibiza every summer. Then I've been to Port Ventura in Portugal. Now I would not, I definitely wouldn't say Ibiza, because I've kind of got past that stage now. At the time I was like, yeah, this is me. I love this. Portugal's up there, because it was boiling hot. It was really nice.
Good evening to Andy Rowlands, who says, what's the worst injury you've played with? And how do you feel about players rolling around when someone breathes on them?
The worst, well, touch wood, I've never had a really serious injury. The worst I've ever had was the day before a game, dislocating my finger. That's probably the worst it's got. And it's kind of one of them. When it comes out, it's not very comfortable, and the longer it's out, the more uncomfortable it gets. But you just can't, until you start catching a ball after you've done it again, it's always sort of in the back of your mind to think, yeah, it's going to come out again here, it's going to come out. So then the next day, literally as I was warming up, it was that little bit of, oh, I don't want this to come back out again kind of thing. But bar that, I've not really had any injuries, thankfully for me.
I mean, do you get, the goalkeepers, I tend to say it from the stands, that you do get slightly more of a benefit of the doubt, shall we say, when you go up to catch a ball, be it from a cross, from a corner, you just get a slight touch, go down, free kick. Do you feel that, or is that a bit overreaction?
Funny enough you should say that, because I was having this discussion earlier while the news were in for interviews and stuff, because when you look at Tuesday night, there was two occasions where I've gone up for the ball and I've just basically had someone walk underneath me. And when you're in the air, I do get the side of, yeah, if someone wants to make a jump up with you and actually attempt for the ball, I get that 100%. If they want to give you a bit of argy-bargy, I get that. But as soon as it comes to the point where you're not even attempting to sort of play a ball, and you kind of, the keeper goes up and you walk under his legs to the point where they just go, it is, in my eyes, a foul. If a forward backs into a centre-half and they're in the air, then it's a foul. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts. I do get, sometimes you do see a lot of them where there's barely any, I mean, there's literally minimal contact on the goalkeeper and it's a foul. But I think it's one of them where sometimes, like I've just said, if you're in the air, if you've actually gone into the air and you're off the ground, as soon as anyone goes underneath you without attempting to play a ball, I do think it's a foul, because
you've got nowhere to
go. You've literally got nothing to hold you. You're literally in the air, nothing sort of to support you. So, yeah.
Thank you to everyone for your texts, tweets and emails. There's some more coming in. I'll get to those in the next part of the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the last part of your Thursday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM. This really is last orders. If you want to get a question into Craig McGilvery, they've been flooding in this evening. If you want to get involved, start your text message with the word Express, and that's 81400, email studio at expressfm.com. Tweet us using at ExpressFM. As ever, this show being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. Download the Stagecoach Buses app to get all the information you could possibly desire. Let's just go straight back into the questions which are coming into us. Good evening to Mark listening in, who says, can I ask, what is the hardest part of being a goalkeeper?
The hardest part, it's having the self-belief. I think there's a lot of, you see it more in young goalkeepers, more than anything, is they have got ability, but they don't generally believe 100% fully in themselves, because it is a very lonely place being a goalkeeper in between the sticks. It is, you've got people wishing for things to happen. You're the last line of defence. If you make a mistake, it's generally going in that goal. So I think self-belief and confidence is very important, as well as concentration.
How hard is it when you're, I'm not sure if you've been in this, I can't think, you haven't been in one of these situations for Pompey, but if you have in previous games where you've made a mistake and you're there alone for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, just hoping that, not the team bail you out, but you can have some help.
So in terms of if you went behind.
Yeah.
I've had one experience of that in particular where I was in non-league, definitely, which is even harder because
it's a brutal place.
It's just more the fact, because there's not as many fans, so you can hear absolutely everything by the word. So, and I've made them. Someone's had a shot and it's slipped through my legs, gone in the net, 1-0 down, and it is difficult. But there's a saying I got told when I first went into professional football is, you've always got to be in the here and now. So as soon as that happens, it's annoying, it's it hurts to do it, but you can't dwell straight back on what's just happened. You've got to look forward, and the next thing you do is make that save, make that wonder save that sort of changes the game, swings the pendulum on your side, sort of thing.
I mean, there's non-league football prepared you well for the Football League, because I'm sure some of the abuse you get at, or goalkeepers get at non-league, although 99% of the time it is genuinely good-natured, prepares you. Actually, it's probably not as bad as what you get on the terraces in the Football League on a Saturday.
In a sense, I would say so, yeah, purely because, like I just said, you can hear everything majority of the time in non-league, and some of the stuff is quite
brutal,
but at the same time, you do hear some things that it is meant in good humour, so to speak, and there's the physical side of it as well. It is a lot more physical than the Football League, definitely. There's quite a few players, I swear, they just aim to just try. How many players can they take out in a game of football, so to speak? And in terms of the banter side, I've had occasions where, for example, a towel's gone missing during a game. So somehow a fan's gone on the pitch, taken my towel and walked off, and they're sort of parading around the stands, waving my towel around as if to say, look what I've got here, I've got your towel. And you can't do anything about it, I'm playing a game of football.
I love non-league football. Good evening to Mike listening in Southsea. Let's look at it from the other side. He says, hi Craig, great Thursday show. Cheers, Mike. He says, a question for you. What's the best save you've ever pulled off?
The best save I've ever pulled off. Ooh, that's a tricky one. There was definitely one last year where we're playing Blackpool and we drew 1-1, and it's one of them where it's kind of just absolute mayhem and the ball's come over and it's been stopped on the line, and somehow it's one of them where you need that bit of luck. I've clawed it away from the line and it's missed the lad's leg straight afterwards. He's reached trying to get the rebound and missed it. It's one of those sort of ones where it's meant to be. Yeah. That was meant to happen. You've saved it. How you saved it, I don't know. And then you've got the luck of their lad missing the ball and the rebound, because there's not an awful lot I could really do to get it any further away from him, to be honest. It's one of those. I a lot of people have said to me this season, the Bristol one.
Yeah.
That was another one where it's kind of like, okay, I don't know how that's actually stayed out. That's gone around the post. The best ones are the ones where it's people's reactions are like, how has that stayed out? How has that physically stayed out of the goal?
Is there times where you, it's almost easier to save the ones you don't have time to think about? Your ability just does it, where someone's a reaction save from point blank that you've just gone up into the top corner and pulled it out of nowhere?
Those ones are the ones that I would say, in a sense, they are easier to make. The one thing I will say is, it's always, and you see it every week, there's always a mistake happening, unfortunately, with a goalkeeper, and it's just unfortunately, it's the flack you get with being in the position. Is it's the easy ones that do you, because all it takes you to go, oh, this is an easy ball, it's coming straight at me, and you switch off slightly, take your focus off ever so slightly, and it's past you, it goes through your hands, goes through your legs, you spill it and they tap it in. It's always the little easier, it's the easier ones that do you, yeah.
I don't know, did you see the United-Arsenal game of the weekend?
Yes.
Was De Gea at fault?
I have to say, Phil Neville went in on him, didn't he? I heard that.
Yeah.
And I might be hanging myself out here to dry a little bit, but if you really watch the ball, yes, okay, he does go a little bit early, and he takes that step a bit too early, but can't really say he's at 100% fault there, because the ball does move so much the opposite direction.
It's the goalkeeper's union.
I can see the arguments of why people would think it's his fault, because he does move a step to his left too early. He sort of takes that half little gamble. But at the same time, the movement of the ball doesn't help the situation at all.
Craig, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Thursday Night Football Hour for the past hour or so. Well done with the contract extension as well. Didn't get time to talk about
thank
that.
You.
And I'm sure we're going to see you between the sticks for many, many years to come. Thank you to everyone who got involved with your texts, your tweets, your emails. As always, it is always appreciated. The Football Hour's return live from tomorrow, where Jake Smith will have the biggest and best preview on the dial to Pompey's game this weekend, which of course you can hear live on 93.7 Express FM and around the world on I Follow Pompey. I'll be back here on Monday to reflect on what is hopefully 6 points out of six since the challenge was laid down. But until then, all that leaves me to say is thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you on Monday.